of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Olaf Summer Camp. The first summer camp for happy snowmen.
To all who've come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
We have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, so why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Steve, you've always struck me as a gamer.
I like playing games.
Yeah.
Mostly with people.
Oh. Sounds a bit sinister.
Are you talking about video games?
I am talking about video games.
And are you talking about beyond Pac-Man and Tetris?
Just barely.
That's about where I stop.
Really?
I'm pretty good at both of those games.
You're pretty good at Bejeweled, too.
Oh, yes. I was literally a millionaire on Bejeweled.
Goodness.
And then I threw away my tablet.
As most millionaires would.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
you made your first million and you were satisfied.
And I threw it out the window, kept on driving. Those are literally the three games I played my entire life.
Wow.
Pretty much.
Well, then you're going to have to really work to keep up with what we're talking about today.
I can do it.
Disney video games. I'm a big fan of Disney video games. Mostly because I'm a big Disney fan. And I like gaming, so you would think that the two would meld really well together.
You would think so.
They don't always, but sometimes they really do. Originally, I think a lot of the games were more computer-based, point-and-click type of things. Have you ever played a game like that or seen a game like that?
Nope.
It's kind of like a stagnant screen, and then you can click on things and it'll animate different parts of the screen, or it'll tell you the story or whatever, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And they did a lot of those right when computers kind of became more household type things.
Yeah.
Where every household had a computer.
Uh-huh.
So they did quite a few of those.
You just kind of walk around on the board around in different rooms and stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Kind of, or like it would almost be like a storybook where it'd be like, let's tell you the story of 101 Dalmatians. Yeah. And then you would click things and it would make the puppies run in a circle or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So they kind of did that sort of thing for a while before they tried to delve more into video games that were more appealing to an older group.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people thought Disney's for kids, right?
Yeah.
So let's make super kid-friendly games.
I would think so. That's exactly what I think.
That's the direction you would want to go?
It's what my initial reaction would be to it, yeah.
Oh, okay. If you were going to make a Disney video game, which one would you want to make?
Oh, I don't know. But the problem, I think, would be for making it just for kids is you're not going to make very much money.
Yeah.
Because kids' games, if they're targeted towards kids, they're basically free now, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of them are. Like cell phone game type stuff
for
kids.
But it's the adults that like the more intricate games that are willing to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on video games, right?
Right. Well, the first one that I can actually remember really enjoying, they made a video game of Aladdin on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, that does sound like fun.
Did you go
fly his magic carpet?
You did have, there were two magic carpet sequences in it.
One, I bet that's true.
One was during A Whole New World.
New world.
Thank you. You would fly your carpet and collect little jewel things or whatever. And
that
then
sounds like fun.
There was one where you're escaping the Cave of Wonders and there's like lava and rocks and stuff.
Oh, that would be fun.
It's a super fun game. And I think it was going off of the popularity of Aladdin at the time. It skewed a bit more adult.
Yeah.
Not adult, but older kid. And so they put
it. Now, when did Aladdin come out?
Oh, now you're going to put me on the spot.
But it was like the 90s, right?
Yeah.
That's when Disney's been in the video game business since the 90s?
Oh, before then. But really? Yeah, that's the first one I can really remember responding to.
Okay.
And I think, honestly, I may be putting my foot in my mouth here, but I think it's the first one that most people consider an actual Disney video game.
Yeah.
I know they, after that, or maybe it was, I can't, now I'm getting my movies out of order, but they made one for The Lion King that people really liked too.
Yeah.
But I never played that one. So.
And were they on all different systems?
Not necessarily. Like, the Aladdin that I played was on the Super NES, but there was also one for the Sega Genesis. So they had different development teams and things like that. Huh. Video game people get very picky about who designs for their systems.
Yeah.
So they don't want, a lot of times they didn't want a reproduction of something that was on another console on their console. And that.
So there was different versions of the same game.
Yes.
Depending on what console you were playing on.
Yes.
That's so interesting.
Right?
Huh. Did not know.
But, I mean, the games were fine. Like I said, I really liked Aladdin and things like that. But I don't think it is until we got into, like, the more modern age of games that our generation really started responding to them again.
Because,
mm-hmm. Again, they skewed a bit young, honestly. And then this game called Kingdom Hearts came out.
Done by Disney?
In association with Disney, yeah.
Okay.
And what it is kind of a mixture of Final Fantasy and Disney.
Hmm.
So you play as a character that has a... Okay, so this is why I really like Kingdom Hearts. For those of you that don't know, I really like keys.
Yeah.
I think keys are so cool. I always wanted a house with like a big scrolly wrought iron key to lock my front door. It's completely impractical, but I would love it. And even at the parks, I buy the decorative keys because they have these really artsy keys that they put out that are super cool.
True. And I know it's off topic, but you had to tell the story about when you bought your last key.
When I bought my last key?
Yeah. You went just recently at Epcot, right?
Oh, right. And we were in the store, and I'm always on the lookout for new keys.
Yeah.
They don't come out very often, and they seem to have like 80 Star Wars keys, and I'm not a big Star Wars person, so that's a bit
right.
pass for me.
Right.
But then I found one for the Animal Kingdom that has an elephant, and...
Oh, right.
It's so cool. And I asked you have to ask someone to get it for you because they don't have them just hanging there because they're expensive. And the guy, you know, you look it over, make sure it's nice. He rings it up and he's like, okay, your credit card went through. So now I can tell you that key doesn't open anything. He's like, we got you. I was like, you really did.
It was really clever.
It's an expensive key for not unlocking a dang thing. So in the video game Kingdom Hearts, you wield a sword that's shaped like a key, yeah. And they come in different forms depending on what world you get them from or what kind of powers they have, and they're so cool.
were you just playing that this week?
I was, yeah. So you swing your sword around and kill things with it, which is very un-Disney, but you're running around through Disney worlds doing it, like... You end up in Atlantica where the Little Mermaid lives, and you end up in, you know, Wonderland and things like that. And it was a really cool mix of things that I think let Disney know that there was a preteen, teen, and late teen kind of group of people that would respond to Disney type games. And so they started like marketing to them, which I think was a great idea.
It was. I think so.
Because
you played that Infinity game, right?
Yeah, that was... it was a little bit long time, actually, after Kingdom Hearts came out.
Literally the only thing I know about it, so... when you're ready.
Well, yeah. So, to be fair, after Kingdom Hearts and a sequel to Kingdom Hearts came out, then they came out with the Epic Mickey games, which are really impressive... they're all based around Mickey Mouse, obviously.
Yeah.
And the storyline, at least of the first one, is that Oswald kidnaps Mickey and takes him to basically a reverse version of Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
Where all the forgotten Disney characters end up.
I knew he was evil.
But the reason that he brought him there is because it was being ruined and they needed Mickey to put things back together again, basically, for all these forgotten Disney characters.
Oh, that's fun. Do you have that game?
I do.
You should play that.
Well, it's on the Wii, which isn't the easiest game to set up and stuff. So.
I see.
But it is a super fun game. And
do we have a Wii?
We do.
Okay.
And it, you can tell Steve is a big gamer. And they came out with a sequel to it and everything. Super fun concept. Once again, it was a kind of a semi-difficult platformer type thing with a more of a story, which people really responded to. But then, like you said, then they get into Infinity.
Yeah.
Which I think is a maniacal scheme of them to make you spend a lot of money.
Do you?
And it worked really well.
Really?
Because, so for those of you that don't know, Disney Infinity is a game that was on almost every platform you can think of, including a lot of handheld gaming devices they had setups for. And it comes with a pad, a square octagonal shaped pad, mm-hmm. that you would take real life toys and set them on, and then the toy would appear in your game and you can play as the character that you put on the pad.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's kind of like a base. Like a base that plugs in, that looks like
you just
like
think
rocks
of like a plate that plugs into your uh-huh. system. And then they sold, I don't know, hundreds of these little plastic figures of their characters that you would set on that plate, and then you could play as them in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was addictive. For someone like me, who's kind of a completionist gatherer type person.
Well, Disney's so good at doing that to everybody on everything. Even if you're not a collector, they find something that you want to collect and you're like, oh yeah, you will be collecting this whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Like, oh, you like enamel pins? Well, we got something for you.
Right.
You know, oh, you like lanyards? Oh, you like plates?
Legit.
Like, literally, they have a collector's version of everything,
including like the vinyl nations and stuff, you know.
Ooh,
which
yeah.
everybody loves and they're cool, but I still don't completely get them, but I get, you know, like, even that, when you explain it, you're like, it doesn't make any sense, but people love them.
I mean, it's just, it's almost like super nerdy action figures,
yeah,
kind of thing, where they're like, I love Disney, but I don't know. It's an organizational thing. Uh-huh. You like to see them all together. It's a weird...
It's true.
And I don't know how to explain
it. I fall for it, and everybody falls for it.
Right.
Everybody has a something.
Anyway. So the Disney Infinity figures, though, mm-hmm. are so well sculpted that I've known people to buy them without owning the game because they look
really?
So cool. and they are. Great. They have figures from everything that you could play as, you know.
Yeah.
I have a lot of them that I should probably put up shelves in my game room and just line them all up there.
Oh, that would be fun.
Because they're so cool, and
that's
such
true.
A neat style that they were able to take characters from all sorts of movies and put them all in the same world, quote unquote, by giving them a similar design.
Yeah.
And they all just work really well together. It's a fun style.
It's interesting. Now, the base that you bought, does that plug in? Do you need a different base for every gaming system you're playing on? Or does it, like, is it the same one for all different?
Oh, no. The bases all had USB plugs.
Uh-huh.
So any system that used a USB plug, I assume that you could plug your base into. But like if you were playing like on a 3DS, it doesn't have a USB input, so you'd have
to have one. That's handheld.
Right
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And you know, I don't know, they might have had one for the Wii U. I don't remember. I would assume they would, honestly. It's a very kid friendly system, so
yeah.
They probably had one specifically for the Wii U, but I've never owned one, so I don't know what that is.
And then, do you think that if you had different bases for different systems, that the little characters would work across all different gaming systems?
They do. When
good,
you
good, good.
When you first set your character down, you would quote unquote claim it. So it would be tied to your gamer tag. And then if you That's ever took fine. Your character to somebody else's house, it would drop in as a guest character.
Okay.
And say, oh, this character belongs to Ryan, but he's playing on Steve's system right now.
Interesting. Very yeah. fun.
And like a lot of other companies kind of jumped on this bandwagon of selling you toys, like real life toys to go with your video games after this, or at the same time, you know, okay, who knows yeah. who comes up with the ideas first.
Right.
So like, there was a Skylanders version, and Nintendo is still doing it where they have the cool little figures. They call them amiibos.
Hmm.
So this really started a trend for a lot of people of having the little plastic figures to play with on top of the video game. The sad thing about it though is, so Disney Infinity had three iterations. They had okay. Disney Infinity, then they came out with 2.0, which was Marvel, which brought in all the superheroes.
Oh, that is fun.
That you could play as. And each of these came out with like little sets that you could buy and play in, you know, the Avengers world or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they came out with 3.0, which was all the Star Wars stuff after Disney got a hold of Star Wars.
Okay.
So they had all the Star Wars figurines and all the Star Wars play places and things.
And would you have to buy a new base to pay with it, play with 3.0? And would they play 1 and 2.0?
You know, that's funny. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure you had to buy a new base every time because there were new characters that wouldn't react to the old base.
I can imagine that was true.
It sounds very... Yeah, it sounds probably like that's probably what they would have done. But part of the fun of Infinity was that, yeah, they had the game you could play, but then the majority of the game was what they call sandbox, where it's just a wide open area that you can build and do whatever you want.
Okay.
And part of the fun of it was building things and then putting them online and having other people download them and play on your self-created worlds and vice versa and things like that. And it was a really interesting community of people that would come up with challenges and fun things to do and race tracks and, you know, that kind yeah. of stuff. It was super neat. And then just, it seemed like out of the blue, Disney decided to pull the plug on Infinity.
This seems so crazy to me.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, I probably spent a small fortune on Disney Infinity.
Uh-huh.
And the reason that they said they weren't moving forward with it is because it wasn't, quote-unquote, as profitable as they expected it to be. And okay. I was like, why did you expect to build an entire amusement park off of selling video games? I'm confused.
Right.
You know? And, you know, perhaps the problem is that you oversaturated the market with too many peripherals.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you didn't come out with 2.0 and 3.0, if you just said, hey, these are backwards compatible, you can play with your stuff on this one, or, you know,
yeah.
I feel like they made it a little too expensive for people to keep up with.
So they shot themselves in the foot with continually upgrading the software systems constantly.
Right. Like, if they would have done updates where they're like, hey, you uh-huh. can get an update and it'll then let you play these That's new fair. Things.
Yep.
I think people would have probably latched on a bit yep. more.
It's exactly where I'm at with cell phones, by the way.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
You're tired of them coming out with new ones?
And the price going up so much. And then, you know, so now $1,300 for a cell phone that you're going to have to replace in 24 months. Ugh. Like, it just seems pretty ridiculous. And they're so disposable. You know?
Yeah.
So not me. I'm ready to go with a cheaper phone that's, you know, that you can afford to replace frequently. And I feel like Disney could have done the same thing, but, you know, by trying to be too greedy with it, maybe.
So now you're going to buy a Nokia. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, gosh. Don't get crazy now. I'm not that desperate.
No, but I think that's probably the issue, is that they spent so much time and money developing new software instead of really investing in the software that they already had out.
Yeah.
And then really cashing in on the fact that people wanted to buy all the figures all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy. Like, literally, people were speculating that they were creating scarcity on purpose by not releasing enough figures.
Huh.
You know, like, it was crazy, people going after these figures.
Wow.
And it's still going on now, I think, with the Amiibos. I think people get crazy about some of those specific ones.
Very interesting.
But I was very disappointed that Infinity decided to shut down. I have younger relatives that I think would have really enjoyed being able to play those.
Yeah.
And it's something that as an adult, you don't mind playing with them.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. It's not like, oh, if you fail, it's hours lost. It's just, oh, whoops, come back. You know, that.
Well, it was also really interesting how big their setups were at all the Targets and Walmarts across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had huge displays for these things.
Right.
And that seems really crazy. It seems like if you were going to, like, it feels like you almost could have, like, scaled back a little bit or something instead of have these few full displays
right.
of this stuff. And then made it more of an online or a Disney store type of a thing.
Right. Well, it's, I think the curse of Disney that Disney just always seems too big to fail.
Yeah.
And people are like, what do you mean it didn't make you enough money? You are billionaires.
Of course.
What do you mean? You need more money? You know, like, it just seems silly for them to pull the plug on something that everyone's enjoying.
Yeah.
And saying, no, it's not making it enough money. Right?
Huh.
But not to be deterred for too long, they are releasing Kingdom Hearts 3 this month. Brand new edition of Kingdom Hearts coming out this month.
Interesting. How's that happening then? So Disney had a company that does video games, and that video game company is still in business? They're just not doing Infinity?
Oh, Disney. No, Disney didn't make Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, okay. It was a different company.
Yeah, they're in collaboration on Kingdom Hearts.
I see.
And the last Kingdom Hearts game didn't come out. It came out in 2005.
Wow.
So it's been a really long space. They've had other games, but this is like the first full game coming out since 2005 of Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
So we're all very excited about the updated graphics, the cool new worlds you get to go to. I'm super excited about all the cool keyblades I'm going to get.
Yeah.
You know,
that sounds way exciting.
These are things the nerdy gamers get excited about.
It sounds exciting to me, and I don't even play.
It's true. You really don't. You're really bad at them.
I cannot handle these controllers. There's too many buttons.
That's the funny thing is the first time I met you, you're like, oh, I have an Xbox 360. I'm like, awesome. We should play some games. And then I saw you play games once and I was like, do you have a 360?
No, I don't think I ever claimed to play on the 360. I just claimed to have a 360.
You're like, I use
I think
it.
We still have a 360 somewhere, don't we? Do we?
I'm pretty sure we have one. Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Well, that's nice.
But that you played the Dance Dance Revolution game on it.
That was the only reason I wanted it.
Yeah.
That was it.
How'd you do on that?
I didn't.
Would you have played it more if it was a Disney Dance Dance Revolution?
Oh my goodness.
Could
no.
you imagine the choreography to Part of Your World?
No. Look no. at this no.
Isn't it neat? They'd have to do a dance
no,
remix.
No, because that was the thing about the Dance Dance, what was it, Dance Dance Revolution or whatever, uh-huh. is that what we're calling it or whatever?
Yeah.
It was, they did have a ton of really fun games. Like, they had country versions, they had different versions of it, right? Right?
Yeah.
Or
they had like a Michael Jackson version and things
sure.
like that.
Sure. So they had tons of really fun versions of it, but, you know.
Motion controls, they're still iffy for me. They're not my favorite.
Yeah. So. And you got to play with friends, and friends are over, I'd rather talk, you know.
Yeah. But it's, like I always say, if you want to collect awesome Disney game toys, you better do it fast before they cancel them, because you're going to miss out. But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.